Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sharing. Today we have a special hour show. My guest is the multi-talented, very diverse actor, Nathan Page. We talked about theater, acting, his garden, and his family life. This actually was taped earlier, so please do not call in. Here's Nathan. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
How are you today?
I'm really well, thank you. It's lovely and a little bit frosty here this morning. But I love a cool morning, and then it's going to be a beautiful, clear, 20-plus degree day. So it's going to be fantastic. I might take the mountain bike out for a bit of a spin through the trails.
That sounds lovely.
It is lovely. It's a little bit muddy out there at the minute. I went the other day went deep in the forest. It's still pretty muddy, so you don't go as fast as you want to go, but you end up having to clean a lot of equipment, but it's fine anyway.
Because of mud's everywhere, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it gets into all the little bits of the mountain bike and all the pivoting bits. So you got to give it a good clean afterwards if it's going to survive the experience.
Oh, poor bike. I know you're an avid gardener. What are you planning to do this year for your garden and your vegetable garden and everything?
Right. Yeah. Well, they always say that the Melbourne Cup Day is when you plant your tomatoes. And because I don't have a greenhouse, I've got to go by that theory, particularly when I'm out in the mountain areas. It's a little bit colder here. So tomatoes are going soon, very early November. At the minute, it's been a bit of landscaping that I've been doing and getting very big herb patch cranking and lots of heirloom seeds going in. So I've still got broad beans that are cranking along, rhubarb, tons of salads and, salad leaves and peas and beans, strawberries. Everything's ready for the switch to summer, which would be all cucumbers and, nightshades. It's a big operation.
It
a little
like
bit daunting.
It.
Yeah.
You have a big kitchen garden, right?
Yeah, I'm on a couple of acres, so I sort of I've made use of as much of it as I can. So I've got 12 raised garden beds for the veggies, and I've espaliered a lot of olive trees along one side, and then dwarf fruit trees along another side, and then I've got a very big herb patch. It's sort of mixed with so many different things, but it's great because it gets all the bees in. And the next thing I'm really excited about and I really want to take on is some beekeeping. And I know it sounds a little bit left of center, but I went and did a course recently and it's so interesting, thoroughly interesting. So, they're probably not the friendliest of pets, but they're interesting ones.
So you maybe have a product, Nathan Page's honeybee.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'll sell anything, I've got the room to put them right down the back and keep them, they can keep to themselves. But as long as they pollinate the stuff in my garden, that's great.
That makes sense. For us Yanks, I know what it is, but I have a lot of listeners. So what is the Melbourne Cup?
The Melbourne Cup is I guess Australia's biggest or most famous horse race. Not that I follow any horse racing at all. I think it's in the first week of November, if I'm right. Yeah, and that's it. So it's spring carnival season coming up now, and there's lots of horse racing coming up.
That's interesting. So, sort of like our Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, I would say it's like that, yeah.
Because I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't know much about it. I know you do a lot of different types of working out, especially biking, of course. But what's your favorite type of working out, and do you have a routine that you do?
For me, it's always been the most important thing for me is I don't want to think about it. And I think so. I've always believed, and that's what I instill in my children. I think you got to find something that you love to do, and then it's not a chore, you know, just like a job. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same with exercise. I feel so sorry for people who don't have anything they can just, you know, go to by default and thoroughly enjoy. So bike riding for me is that thing where I, I feel at my most free and my most useful. I feel like a kid every time I throw a leg over a push bike. So, and then because I have such a long history of bikes and I have too many in my shed, that's what I do. That's my default exercise. I do go to the gym to, you know, strengthen up a little bit. Everything else, but it doesn't. It's not the same as. It's not that feeling of real freedom. Although I'm enjoying it at the minute, and I'm just sort of battling at the minute a shoulder that I a few years ago I went over a rather large jump on a mountain bike and didn't stick the landing. I just went to the doctor recently. I've got about 5 or 6 tears in the rotator cuff. So the gym kind of helps sort of balance that out a little bit, manage it before I, you know, get any surgery done. So that's what I do. Yeah. Mainly around where I am, there's a lot of mountain biking, which is great. I mean, I'll ride a bike anywhere. When I was living in the city, I love riding in traffic. It's a different riding experience altogether. But here there's so many beautiful, wonderful trails. And you can just get lost in it.
Do you? Is it sort of meditative for you when you're riding your bike?
Yeah, it is. It goes. You go into a zone. A meditative. Yeah, perhaps. You know, it's so focused that I think the mind definitely goes somewhere else. So, yeah, you go into some other place, which is just, brilliant. And by the time you come out of it, after a couple of hours out of the forest, you've really worked hard. So it would be very hard to do, very hard to achieve that if all you were trying to do is just, you know, get that workout. So you're so free within it. It's wonderful. I guess it's kind of like skiing or...
Do you feel creative when you do that?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I use bike riding to help me. If I'm going to rehearsal during the day, if I can get some good strong cardio in a la a good strong bike ride not too long where I've tired myself out, but where I've really got the heart rate going, maybe an hour and I've got the heart rate nice and high, when I go to rehearsals that morning I am definitely far more creative. There's 100%. So there's something that unlocks there. I'm not sure if it happens in the act of riding, but it does, something opens up and unleashes when the blood's been flowing, the brain is, you know, is free. And I feel great enthusiasm. And I think creatively, for me personally, that helps.
I think that's really cool. I think that it's interesting how different forms of creativity is generated by different things. Like we discussed last time that you have a love of art, and going to museums probably is the same kind of experience for you as going bike riding. Or maybe you said you wanted to have like a bike ride trail that goes through all the different art galleries.
Yeah, perhaps. That would be an interesting one. I think that'd have to be waterproof.
Yeah.
All the works of art. Look, I think they're kind of, I mean, they're on different levels. There's one that is, for me, you know, that the cycling is a preparation, really, for that creative brain. To find that receptivity that you need when you're in a creative space or place, whereas I think that it's not a place of observation. Whereas I think when you're at an art gallery, you're all ears, you're observing, you're taking on someone else's experience, and you're that sort of vacuous that vacuous state to all that neutral state to be able to take it on. I think they're kind of two different things, certainly for me.
That makes sense. I don't know why, but I just kind of connected it in my head because of our last conversation.
yeah, sure.
You've had a really exciting year. You've done a lot of theater. How was it like? And you were telling me that it was like your first stage play in a long time when you went to do The Distance, so... How is it going back, doing theater again?
It was a really good experience. I had to, I had objectives that I wanted to achieve, and I hadn't done any theater for 10 years, and as you say, so I think 10 years ago I'd saturated myself in theater, and I wanted to go and learn other skills and do something else. It's quite demanding. And I wasn't feeling particularly satisfied. So this time coming back, I wanted to make sure that it was something I really wanted to do, and also be able to take the risks I wanted to take. Excuse me. And really be... really go there, really be... brave and make bold choices, and so for me, to my mind, I achieved all those things, and the second show was a different objectives for me, purely for that one, the 39 steps was to go and have fun, and fun completely off the wall. So you know always whereas the other one was a little bit more, I guess, dynamic, and there was, you know, there was far more serious content in it. In The Distance, 39 Steps is, it's kind of like doing Monty Python, where it's just crazy. And I've had a really strong experience in the theatre, and I think it's mutual. I think the theatre had a strong experience with me this year, and it'd be really good to go back. I don't think I'd like to do more than two. In a year, I don't want to do any more, just a little bit, any more theatre, but until later next year, perhaps. It all depends on what it is and how how I respond to it. I guess it's difficult because having a young family, you go into that you go into that bubble of theatre, and you think that's thespians think that's all that's going on in the world, and in your bubble, that's all that's going on in the world. Current affairs and political events don't really exist when you're in that bubble. So it's kind of a bit of a selfish place. And when you have family, you don't really have that that luxury. But you've got to do it. So I've had a great experience.
It must have been hard to be separated from your family when you were doing the 39 Steps in Adelaide.
Oh, look, I've got two young boys and they're really rowdy, so it wasn't that hard. It wasn't that hard at all. Because they just, they're all right. They're just doing what they're doing, and they're very noisy. And it's, I find it always difficult, the amount of decibels that they put out. They're pretty rowdy. So it's actually good to go away and do it in another state. As funny as that sounds. But you know, you've always got the telephone calls and the Skyping and the, yeah. So, but they came over to Adelaide with me as well, so for a little bit, and they had a good time.
Oh, that's great. I know you studied acting in Adelaide. I'm such a yank. Adelaide, how do you say it?
Yeah, no, you said it perfectly the first time.
Okay.
I mean, Australian might call it Adelaide, but you said it perfectly, Adelaide.
Oh, okay. I'm always worried I trip over names. you actually studied there, and you went back to do the 39 Steps as a lead. Was
yep.
that difficult, or
yep.
was it exciting, or how was it?
Well, I really, really love that company because that's where I cut my theatre teeth. When I graduated, I worked with exclusively with that company for the first 2 years of my professional career. And so, yeah, I was really fortunate. I think I've done lots of shows with them, so I have a strong history with them. And it's, I don't know whether it's the lead. It's one of those shows. Yeah, he does carry the story, Hannah, but they're all very equally drawn out parts, I would say. So there's four roles in that thing, and they're all big. They're all substantial. but yeah, it's got to be on song to be successful. Well, I had to be. So yeah, it was scary at first, but it always is. It always feels like you're never going to make it to the line for opening night. And usually, at opening night, you don't make it to the line. It's where you sort of compromise a little bit of detail in the work just to get it over the line. The detail comes later once you. Once you get used to those audiences and the muscularity of the piece that you're dealing with. So for this particular piece, it was just very gratifying to go back and work with that company who's given me a lot to start with. I think there's a lot of kids who graduate from drama schools and they go directly to LA or particularly from Australia, they just go directly onto TV and then to LA to pilot season. They don't learn any of they don't step on the boards at all, a lot of them. So that's a bit of a shame because there's a lot to learn there. And I think it's very specifically an actor's craft in a theatre. So you get to really stretch your acting muscles as opposed to in theatre and television, sorry, film and television, where that's really the strings are pulled by other forces.
I was thinking about that. That what you were saying about younger actors, some of them just stick to like pilots and TV and stuff like that. But you came from theatre, so do you have advice for young actors coming up? Do you think that theater is the best route for you to really get your footing?
Well, I think that for me, certainly, it was a place where I got to experience working with some really fine actors that were in their element and certainly in their prime. And I get to experience them live on stage every night. And so you can't it's just undeniable. It's an undeniable force when you're working with that, you know, with someone better than yourself live. You know, it can't be beat. It can't be edited, and you learn as you go. You know, you fake it till you make it. You know, in front of an audience. So I think it depends. They're different. It's the same craft. It's just tweaked slightly differently. With television, you know, I mean, some kids are never going to step on the stage and not interested, and that's totally cool as well. But there's, I think, some of the finest actors that are in existence have a lot of stage experience. It's where they cut their teeth originally, and I think it's where they get their danger, and that danger is something that's sorely lacking, I think, in a lot of performers. But when it's there, it's there.
That's really cool. That's something I've heard other actors say, that you do something dangerous because that's part of your biting into life when you do that. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. I think so too. Yeah, there's risk and it's immediate.
You know, you have a lot of fans from Miss Fisher, so I can't get away with not asking you. Do you miss Jack Robinson? How do you feel about him?
Look, I miss the I don't miss the character per se, but I mean, it's I miss the mob that I've been working with. You know, it's like working with a big family, and the producers are off doing another show at the minute. And we're looking to. I spoke to the producers of Miss Fisher just the other day, and we're looking to try and do a feature film of the show come next year sometime, and hopefully early next year. And that'd be really exciting because I think it's sort of, well, it'll be great for that the demographic that enjoy Miss Fisher. It's interesting that I think that you know, give the a cinematic experience, it'd be really work really well with this show. It's also shot quite cinematically anyway, so it had a natural flow into cinema. And then it's also, it's being in a cinema, it's not on your TV, as you know, it comes out in the cinema first, obviously, and then you just get that more, more of an experience. So, with such a big screen. So I look forward to doing that. I hope we can get it up soon. And then who knows? You know, I'm not sure after that if we can do two or three, if we can do a trilogy of films, it'd be great. It's all about getting the band back together, really. So it'll be fun to do. It'll be fun to slip back into suits and... Sorry?
You're all spread out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Get your hair all cut and get the suit on and all that.
Absolutely, and it would be great to do it in, you know, it'd be great to do it in somewhere. I'd love to. I've been pushing for going to somewhere like Vietnam, or you know, where it can be a little bit crazy. I've also been pushing for a bike, a pursuit on push bikes, but I don't know how we'll go with that one.
A lot of the fans would actually like that.
Yeah.
Would you say your preparation for a play is different from a TV or a film? How do you prepare for each?
With TV, everything comes down to the script. Everything comes down to the writing, pretty much. But with TV, it's so much quicker, and you have a larger team. So there's little time. It always feels rushed, and it always feels like you're flying by the seat of your pants. and rehearsals are basically non-existent. There's no such thing. With theatre, it's a much more controlled environment. It feels like you start from the start, and you apply your craft consistently and gradually to get your objective, and you do it as a group. So your rehearsal is, you know, 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, and then of intense time in that bubble, and so it's a very different experiences.
Well, with theater, it's supposed to be an actor's medium more than a director or a producer like TV or film. Do you feel like that, or do you feel it's more collaborative between everybody, or how do you feel about the difference between that?
Definitely. I think because, I mean, you're it's not, it's, the machine isn't as big in theater, you know, I mean, as it is in television. I mean, even if it's a big theatre piece, it's not as big as a you know, TV production. So, in that way, yeah, because you can't edit yourself out, you know, in theatre. It's live and it's real and it's immediate. So, yeah, you have that that control, I think, if that's what you call it. It's down to you a lot, and it's certainly very much a group effort.
Yeah, if you go up on your lines, you can say, oh, hold on a minute, we need to do that again, if you're on stage.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's also, you know, you've got time to, with theatre, you know, you're going over the same thing, you know, it's not just new scripts all the time and new situations, or, you know, you're constantly going over the same ground and mining deeper into it, not skimming across the surface and trying to retain lines and then lose them so that you can retain more and then lose more, you know, make more room for in your brain for more. It's not that as much. That's a certain skill set in TV, whereas I think with theatre, you're going over the same ground over and over, constantly trying to get mine deeper, and then I guess ultimately then you've got to try and throw it away, so all the work, the hard work and the sleepless nights, you've got to throw that away and just pretend you never did it so that it looks natural and it's complete, and yeah,
just throw it away.
You've got to leave yourself alone, you know, but I think that's across all forms of art.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you gotta be gentle with yourself too.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been asked this before, but what's the best part of doing voiceover work, and what's the worst part of doing voiceover work?
I think the best part for me certainly is, and I've been only doing it for the last few years. So I had to learn pretty quickly. The best part would definitely be, in my view, is when you have an almost complete product. And for me, I don't particularly like doing radio because it's very quick and variable. It's just high sell, high turnover. It's not my cup of tea, and it's not my forte, really. I'm not that good at it, you know, putting on a radio voice and yakking away. Whereas I can... there's something really satisfying about when you've got with a television ad, when it's a beautifully shot ad, and then you're the sort of final piece in the puzzle that the voice is, and if you can get it just right and pitch it just right, it's really, really satisfying. I would never have thought that I could say that, you know, it's an ad, it's a piece of ad, but it's a small work of art in a way, and it's lovely that you can sort of finish it off with something that it deserves. I mean, I think for a lot of the stuff that I see, and I don't watch any television, but I might as well not have one, but the stuff that I do see and hear on the radio, I think a lot of advertising is in this backward world where, I don't know, they think that selling hard is the you know, it seems like we're still in the 70s or 80s. Selling it hard is the thing. People, and I'm a believer in underselling, especially when you've got a really beautifully shot, you know, ad, then you can undersell it with your voice. And that's when it becomes, that's when it really sings for me. And I've done a few of those recently where I've just gone, wow. And it's a very natural place for me to go to and with my voice. And so yeah, I'm really compatible with underselling stuff. There you go.
You're an underseller.
Underselling myself, really, to the advertising industry.
No, I mean, you're,
I get the whole hog. I've
seen your TV ads on YouTube and stuff, and I think you're right.
Okay.
I mean, I think they're very artistic. Do you have a favorite of the ones you've done?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as of recent, I really like the ASICS one, which I did, and just a few weeks ago. Oh, no, actually, I did that a few months ago. And it's just a really well shot ad, and then again, there was just that satisfying thing of just the icing on the top with an underselling voice, and it's I think it's just it's a lovely ad. I think it's, what is it? I can't remember the name of it. ASICS Want It More, I think it is. On the other hand, there's on the flip side, I think you're in an industry where there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and everyone thinks they're straight off madmen, and everyone's, you know, it seems like there's a lot of egos around, and everyone thinks they've got a creative bent, which is not true by any stretch of the imagination. So, and because I, you know, because I work with words, and that's what actors do, you sort of, you know what comes out. You don't have to say it. You just look at on the page, you know that's not going to come out of the mouth well, or it's going to come out, you know, with a specific feeling, or there's, generally there's too many words and everyone's trying to shove as much information into a small, into 15 seconds as possible. And so it's gabbled. So they go, can you do all this information, but make it sound really, you know, relaxed. And you go, that's impossible. I don't know how you do that. You do it, you know? So it's always a matter of trimming down and trying to appease egos and still get, you know, the product that people want, and me not lose my cool, because you were in a small booth with no air, and you know, an hour a hit at least, and it's very easy to lose your cool. It's very easy for me to lose my cool.
Under the hot, you're tired, you're sweating, fish tank. And ugh.
Yeah, and just generally angry.
Now we've entered the psychiatrist's couch.
Another level right there.
That's cute. You and Sam McAdams Cooper have a really great collaboration going with your series of black and white pictures. How did that come about?
Sam contacted me. You mean the black and white pictures specifically?
Well, just the collaboration. It can be the black and white pictures too.
Okay. Well, Sam contacted me years ago and said she was interested in, she'd been following my career and was interested in taking some photos. And then so we met up. She flew down to Melbourne. She lives in Sydney. And I subjected her to my very cold midwinter in my shed and said, you can shoot in here. It was freezing. It was a bad idea, but we did anyway. And then we went on from there. So we, you know, occasionally I'll go up to Sydney or she'll come down and then fine tune our little collaboration. And it's an interesting one. She's very talented and obviously she's worked with a lot of, you know, still life photography. And so we, it's been a working a working, symbiotic relationship between the two artists, I guess. Well, one of the things that I think, I mean, would probably surprise people is that actors not always want, particularly happy about being in front of a camera, and I'm one of them. I can't stand it. I hate it. I don't know how to do it, and I'm generally awful at it. So I get nervous, and I'm just not very good at getting my photograph taken. So getting a headshot done is hell for me. I don't know what that says about me. I don't think it's unusual. I think I don't think just because you're an actor it means that you have to be extroverted and be natural in front of a camera or desire it. Anyway, so we have this symbiotic relationship where we've been developing what we've been doing, and so when I invited her to come down to the 39 steps and maybe take some photos, it was quite good to do, and it was easy for me under those circumstances because I'm actually in momentum there. So I think acting is a confidence game, and it always is. And so in the way that when you're on song, when you're employed, you're up and running, you got a head of steam behind you. When you're not, you run into difficulty naturally. So you sort of duck for cover a little bit. And so it's difficult to be productive when I'm not working. It's really difficult for me to get my photo taken. If I'm working and I've got a medium, and that's the work, it's not Nathan, it's a character, or that's not hard, that's okay, that's different. But I don't want me, and that I find me too elusive for myself, let alone for someone else's lens.
I mean, that isn't unusual. I when I was younger, I worked as an actress myself, and one of the jobs I had was on Golden Girls, and the biggest shock of it was, really cool. The biggest shock of it was working with Bea Arthur, because she was shy. I mean, she was shy to retiring to hiding in her trailer shy. I mean, you would never think that when you saw her persona.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't it a funny little thing? That's not that uncommon either, I don't think. It's a funny little thing, and it's not. No, it's interesting. But I don't know. Maybe you're saving your bullets. I'm not sure what it is. It's certainly for me. I don't want to play. I always try and find characters that I don't want to that aren't close to me, because I don't want to play me, and that's what a lot of television is in a funny kind of way. It's cast type, so it's difficult for me to land in a natural place in your sort of standard modern TV, because I don't want to play me. Not interested. So that's this relationship that I've had with Sam, and it's and and doing it with under the guise of a show helps as well, because it's like I say, you've got a head of steam up. It feels like it's the confidence is up, and off we go.
How did you feel about your portrait in the National Gallery?
look, it's a tricky one for me always. Again, it's looking at a photo is so damn subjective for me that I'd have to, it's hard for me to comment. I mean, I think Sam did a brilliant job, but at the end of the day, I'm looking at myself, and I can't be objective about it. I I think she did an amazing job. I just have to step away from it because, just because. There, technically, just because.
Just because. Okay, I can deal with that. I understand from her that you and she are doing something special for the fans. Some limited pictures. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, she's done these amazing. I think it's on water paper, watermark paper. I'm not sure what it's called. But these beautiful prints from the photos that she's taken, and they're just superb because they're all so matted and textured in black and white, and they just look so vintage. It's perfect for that era. It's perfect for that. That genre, and when she sent them to me to sign, and then you know some for auction. Looking at them online or whatever is nothing. When you see them in the flesh, they're really, really beautifully done. Again, I'm looking at myself, and that's not that easy. But when I look at the context it's in, it's really beautifully done. She's done a superb job.
She's an amazing photographer. I mean, the pictures, they're just so ethereal and gorgeous.
Mm.
I know I'm talking about you, and you're kind of like, oh, I can talk about me, but the pictures are beautiful. I mean, the black and white contrast is just stunning.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think we've got some. I mean, it'd be interesting to see where we go with it because there's some photos that she's previously taken that would work really well in that format.
My next question is a little different. How do you balance your busy work life with your personal life with your young family? I mean, it's one of the things I'm interested in because I have to do it myself. So I always ask my guests that. How do you do that?
Well, I've got a pretty, you know, rowdy little young family, two boys, one 4 and one almost 7. And yeah, they're very noisy. So I just run away and hide in the shed. That's how I balance that bit. And that's the first part of the balance. And then I try and get a job that's interstate. Interstate. Potentially overseas. No, I know. Not really. I think you've got to be, for me, I've got to be as opportunistic about my work as I do, work ethic as I do about my family life. So, and it's not easy. But what I do get to do is spend, you know, good amounts of time with the kids, so with the family, so, and a lot of time, you know, in the garden. So the off time is really important to keep it productive, I guess, and so lots of gardening, having the kids around, spending a lot of time with them. I drive them nuts completely, but that's okay. We've got a big garden. Yeah. They can tell me to disappear.
You drive your kids
totally.
Nuts. Or they drive you nuts. Which way is it?
Oh yeah, both. Yeah, I'm not sure anymore. It's just all you know, sort of pixelated for me.
Okay, that makes sense. time is speeding. We're almost at the end of the show. I told you it goes fast.
Goes pretty quick, yeah.
Yes, it does. Well, I don't have a lot of time left, so what new projects do you have coming up or any personal appearances that you'd like anybody to know about?
Well, at the moment, next weekend, I've got a gala event over in South Australia, over in Adelaide. And that's to raise money for the State Theatre Company there for their next season, 2017 season. So I've joined forces, and I said I'd turn up and help them out and auction off a few photos from that we did that Sam McAdam Cooper took, a friend of mine who takes all those beautiful photos, and she's done some incredible shots which are being auctioned off there. And so that'll be really fun.
That's cool. She's a great artist.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be great. And so I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, I'll be in the garden, probably chainsaw in one hand, an axe in the other, looking like a madman. Yeah, knee deep in mud.
Sorry, you made me laugh.
There's a movie in that. No, it sounds a little dangerous, doesn't it? And it is.
Yeah.
It's fraught with danger in my hands.
Oh, dear.
And I've got to make an appearance with my chooks. I've got six chooks that are laying beautifully at the moment. I get six eggs a day, basically. And they need a little bit of attention. So, you know, when I've got to get away from the rowdy kids, I'll be in the chicken coop.
So you have a choice between your chickens and your kids. You choose the chickens?
They're a bit quieter, and they do what they're told. Chickens, that is. And they're productive.
Okay. And they're very productive. Yeah, six eggs a day. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Nathan, for coming on the show. I so appreciate it. I really enjoyed it.
My
I
pleasure.
I hope you did, too.
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Once again, thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.